So we're going to talk about new connection. We're going to talk about joy and having a new connection with joy. Because here's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned that the old connection with joy is no good. Sometimes what we do is we connect joy with our happiness, or we connect joy with our circumstances. And today we just want to blow that one right out. And you might be saying, well, like, I don't. But it could just be that you do. So we're going to reapply the connection. But have you ever had a bad connection? Because this is what got me thinking about it. I started thinking about bad connection. Ever had like a bad first connection, maybe with a girl? Maybe you went on a first date. I don't want to name any names, but it wasn't Nikki. But I went on a first date one time and it didn't work out the way I anticipated. And I was glad it was over. So that was a bad first connection. The girl was fine. It just, you know, move on. Next connection could be your first day at work. You make a new connection. You get to your first day at work and you're hoping it's not your last. You're hoping it's going to be the first of a great relationship with your boss. But sometimes the first day can either be you hope it's your last, you wish it was your last, it is your last, and you or whatever, or maybe it's your best. But I'm talking about bad connections, and you get that bad connection, you're thinking, I wish this thing was over. Or maybe in your phone. And sometimes our phone is the funniest one, isn't it? You know, you got a bad connection, and it can happen in two different ways. And maybe this is just me, but you know, someone's phoning, you're like, oh, sorry, you're breaking up, and then you just, and they're like, come on, you just hung up on me. I'm like, no, I had to go, I had to run. And then there's legitimately other times whenever you get a bad connection and it's just like, I'm gonna have to phone you back. But here's the thing about connections, is you could get connected to the wrong thing. And sometimes you do get connected to the wrong thing. And sometimes connections can be fixed, and sometimes you just gotta let them go. And maybe you're here and you're watching today and you're listening today and you're saying to yourself, I've made a bad connection. I've made a bad connection between joy and happiness and joy and circumstances. And it seemed like a good idea, but the problem is every time my life changes, every time there's a problem, every time there's an issue, I feel like my joy just diminishes. And this is a real problem, especially if you're a Christian, because in the Bible, from start to finish, it just talks about joy and rejoice always, and God's given us joy as the gift, and we've got joy here and joy there. And I tell you, it's a sorry state of affairs when a Christian doesn't have any joy, and yet it can sometimes be the reality of our lives. And I want this to rethink. I want us to reboot. I want us to reconnect so the joy of the Lord truly is our strength, and we know what the joy of Jesus is, and we know Him as our joy, and it's not connected to our circumstances, and it's not connected to our feelings, and it's not connected to the things that happen, whether it be good or bad. I want joy that works in every season. How about that? That's the kind of joy that we're talking about. Some connections can be fixed, but some need to be broken forever. Look, that girl and you are just not going to work out. Now, if you're married, make it work. Keep going. I'm not saying that one. But sometimes it's just not going to work out. No matter how much you try to make it work, it's not going to work. It's not a good connection. Maybe it's those friends. And so often, if you find it, you get saved, you give your life to Jesus, and then suddenly you don't hang around with the same friends as much. You start to feel guilty. They start to make you feel guilty. But here's the bottom line. You became a new creation, so you became a different person. And the person that you used to be is not the person who you are now. And so a lot of the times, friends have to go because they don't like who you've become. They're not comfortable around you. You convict them. You make them feel guilty. And those things can be a good thing, but they don't want it. And then there's other times where we're just forcing it and we've got to let it go. And it might be for a season, or it might be for a lot longer. But sometimes that friend connection needs to change, and it's just part of life, and it's a connection we have to let go of. And then there's other times, like we said about a bad signal. This never happened to me because I'm a bit happy when it comes to getting a new phone. But sometimes you just need to get a new phone. The signal is bad because the phone is done, and just let it go. You've got to let it go. You've got to let that phone go and get the new one that you need for the new connection. And this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a new connection with Jesus, and it's not connected to our happiness, and it's not connected to our circumstances, but we literally have a joy that's fully aligned with Jesus, and it's pure joy, and it's His joy. So let's reboot our joy. Today, let's make a new connection. Jesus plus our joy, not joy plus happiness. And you're already thinking to yourself, look, are you for real? Like, is it really possible that you could have a constant joy? Like, come on, I've lived long enough, I've been through enough circumstances, I've been through enough problems, I've been through enough issues to know that I don't believe what you say. But here's where I'm going to take it back to, is we're going to take it back to the Bible, and we're going to see what Jesus says. We're going to see about what God says and how He associates joy with not circumstances, but with Jesus Himself. And why is this so good? Because life happens, change takes place, to and fro happens. Sometimes you got to go with the flow. Sometimes it's like you're in the flow and you don't want to go this way. Sometimes your life goes up and down like a yo-yo. And if your joy is connected to your circumstances, now you've got a big issue. And now, how can your joy be constant? Because your joy fluctuates, and because your joy goes up and down. And this is the sad reality for many Christians. And God said, it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be like that. We've just got to sever that connection, and we've got to reconnect. We've got to reconnect and get a good connection, a solid connection with the right source, with the right person, which is Jesus. And suddenly everything will change. And why is this so good? Because, as I said, life's going to change. But guess what? Jesus never changes. He's always constant. He's always consistent. And so now suddenly you're like, wow, I can have a consistent, constant joy that never changes. Doesn't matter about the circumstances. And I'm like, absolutely right. This is what can happen. And so maybe you are a Christian and you're like, I've never really stepped into this. Maybe you're not a Christian. You're saying to yourself, for real? I'm saying, yeah, for real. You've got to know Jesus, because this is the design for your life, that you would know his joy. And he makes it a big deal. He makes it a really big deal. Jesus says, I want to keep you in my joy, and I want it to be pure joy, and I want my joy to lead you. Look at how big of a deal it is. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. This is what it says. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, look, I know you're concerned about a bill. I know you're concerned about a job. I know you're concerned about a loved one. You're concerned about life. There's a whole lot of things about your career. And we could go on and on and on. But look what God says. He says, for the kingdom is not a matter of eating and drinking. I will take care of those things. But it's about righteousness. Okay, I get that one. Righteousness simply means to be right with God. I fundamentally want to tell you today, if you forget everything else, your life should get right with God. You need to get right with God. This is the way it needs to be. It's just a given. But the next one, and I think the next one's obvious, is peace. Okay, everybody's looking for peace. I think whether you're a believer in Jesus, whether you're a believer in faith, I think everybody is looking for peace. But look at the level to which God puts joy. He doesn't put hard work. He doesn't put obedience. He doesn't put any of these other terms that you think you would associate with giving, or any of those other things you might associate with God. He says, no, joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. In other words, it's an incredibly big deal to God, and he doesn't want it to be, get ready, optional. Joy should not be optional. It should be consistent. It should be strength to you. It should be like your breakthrough. It should be your strength. It should be everything. It's just your foundation. And it's definitely not a thing that's flaky. It's definitely not a thing that changes. It's definitely, other than gets better. It's not a thing that just lets you down. It's not a thing that you're going to have to turn around and go, hey, can I trust this thing anymore? No, because your joy is in Jesus. And our joy does not have to be optional. And I'm believing today that's a breakthrough already, because we realize, wow, I don't have to just let it go at times. I don't have to let it go. I don't have to be like when I'm sad, let it go. I don't have to, given the circumstance, let it go. I can literally keep hold of joy, because my joy is not connected to my circumstances. My joy is connected to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is a breakthrough. This is what God wants us to talk about today. It's time to stop playing hide and seek. And this is what I was thinking about. Ever played hide and seek? Look, this is a funny thought. But ever played hide and seek? Now, if you play hide and seek with a professional, this is what happens. They hide so well, you can't find them. And suddenly there's no joy left in the game. You're literally like, come on, just come out. I give up. But if you play hide and seek, I don't know if you've done this yet, but maybe I'll take a video sometime for you. If you play hide and seek with a 2.5-year-old, you will find that they're dying to be found. You will find that they will hide in the most ridiculous places. They will even laugh before you find them. They will even jump out before you find them. They will find themselves because they're full of joy. And I'm telling you this, we are playing too much hide and seek with our joy, but we're thinking like we have to hide it. We're thinking like we have to leave it. We're thinking like we have to put it in a hiding place and try to find it sometime, or put it in a safe place. But I'm telling you this, we need to stop playing hide and seek with our joy, because literally joy is our life. Because joy is in Jesus, and Jesus is our life, and he's founded us in his joy, and we're right with God, and we've got his peace, and joy is to be the strength of our lives. That's what Nehemiah says. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It literally is your strength. It's better than a feeling. It's better than an emotion. It's better than the circumstances. It will be your strength. It will not fail you. It will not fail you. And if you've got joy right now that's failing you, then you need a joy upgrade. You need a joy reconnection. You need to get a joy that's less on the circumstances and more based on Jesus. And this is what God wants to put into our heart today, so that we can grasp him in a fresh way. Now, if you noticed and you've been around Vibe, then you'll have heard us talking about Project Possible. And right in the middle of a project possible, it's connected to the Nehemiah and rebuilding the walls. But look where the joy of the Lord comes from. Nehemiah chapter 8. It's after the walls have been rebuilt. It's a command to Israel. It's a joy to Israel, the people. And literally just said, hey, come on, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why? Because he's never failed you. Because he's never let you down. Because even in your worst day, he was still for you. Because no matter what circumstances have come against you, you have always overcome, because God never fails, never changes, and he constantly loves you. His love never fails. And this is why we can trust him. This is why we can bank on him. This is why we can have joy that's constant, because it's not based on something else. It's based on God himself, and he never fails. And so the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so now when we face trials of any kind, we start to overcome. Now, even when we're pressing on for 2 million for our project, or 1.5 million, and we're thinking, can we get breakthrough here and breakthrough there? We're not sweating. We're not toiling. If we ever do, we're kind of stepping into that for a moment. And then we remind ourselves, I've got nothing to fear. I've got nothing to dread, because God has this, and his joy is my strength. And we will surely overcome. You see, suddenly with Jesus, change, that horrible thing called change that a lot of people run away from. The reason why you run away from it is because your change is linked to your joy and your peace, and you don't want your joy and your peace messed with. So you say, I don't want change. I don't want change. But suddenly, the moment you move your into Jesus, your joy into Jesus, then change becomes your friend. And instead of getting frightened by change, you're like, I can't wait. I wonder what's going to happen next. It's so exciting. God's got this. This is amazing. Am I saying it's always like that? I'm saying no. But even like James talks about, even when you go through the trials, you'll kind of pure joy, because you know that God's strengthened your faith, and he's causing perseverance in you, and he's causing you to get stronger. This is the goodness of God. So now I'm telling you over and over and over again, there is no excuse for no joy, because your joy is placed in Jesus. This is good news for everybody that wants to hear it. And then we go next level. Because our joy is connected to Jesus, suddenly he becomes your strength, and your joy becomes your strength. And now, instead of your circumstances dictating your joy starts to affect your circumstances. Now, no matter where you find yourself, you're joyful. And that joyfulness is not just a good feeling or a good emotion. It starts to affect everything from the center out. It starts to affect everything. It starts to change everything. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And when he got to the cross and overcome the cross, guess what? Sin's defeated, death's defeated, life's defeated, and suddenly we have Jesus on the throne, and he has risen from the dead, and resurrection life flows from a place of defeat, and now life is forever changed, and anybody who calls on the name of Jesus experiences that joy of forgiveness, and their life is never the same again. This is the next level. This is where you go 180 in Christ, because instead of just having Jesus and then placing your hope in your circumstances, you do a 180 with your circumstances in terms of placing it, your joy there, and now instead of being led by what happens to you, and led by that, and led by your emotions, and led by your feelings, and having all the anxiety of the day running around your life, and running around your heart, and who hasn't been there at times, now suddenly my joy, my peace is found in Jesus. And I start to take control, because he's got control, and now I simply surrender to him, because he's so good. This is the joy of Jesus. This is the joy of the kingdom of God. And this is why we need to take joy seriously. And this is why the devil hates it when we take it seriously, because he loves to have us on the run. Point number two, in trials, your joy suddenly gets stronger. Look, I love this story. This is the disclaimer just before we get into it. I love this story. We've used it many times. I just can't get away from it. And what's the point trying to find another obscure story when I love this story and I can still find more in it? This is the joy of the Word of God. There's always something more in it. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 16, verse 22. It's the early disciples. They're full of the Spirit. They're full of the joy of the Lord. And they cannot be stopped. No government, no regime, no like kind of party, no politics, nothing can stop these guys. They're unstoppable in the things of God. And all they operate in is love. It's an unadulterated, unbelievable, outrageous love. All that God's called us to today, and we can have the same thing. Verse 22 of 16. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, early disciples, and the city officials ordered them to be stripped down and beaten with wooden rods. They'd done nothing wrong, but be outrageous with joy and with love and with the good news of Jesus. 23, they were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into the prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape, so you can't let these guys out. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. wow. This is a true story. It's not make-believe. It's not Disney. This is real life. And this is what the mess sometimes you can get yourself into in life. But this is how you get out of it with joy and with praising God. And because the Holy Spirit's all over you. So I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus, you've got to come to know him today. It is life-changing and your life will forever change. And it'll be better than you could ever imagine, possibly imagine, think, or ask, or want, or desire. It'll be so much better than that. Times 10, times 100. I'm telling you, it's good. But look, I want to give you three things from the story. Number one, they had a problem. Ever had a problem in life? Here's their problem. They were in jail. That's a big problem. That is a big problem. And they were in jail, not because they did something wrong, but because they weren't liked. They just weren't liked. They didn't like what they were saying, didn't like what they were doing. And the government of the day, the people of the day, like, throw them in jail. We don't want them. It was unreasonable. They literally had an unreasonable problem. It wasn't even reasonable. They find themselves with an unreasonable problem because they didn't deserve to be there. They shouldn't have been there. And it wasn't fair. Ever had that in your life where it's just not fair? And yet I want you to see the response, because every time you get a problem, you've got to choose to do something. How will I respond? Number two, the response. Do you remember the response from the story? They began to sing, they began to rejoice, they began to sing praises. And when did they decide to do it? Around midnight. In other words, and let me add to this a tiny bit, but I hope it doesn't take away from it. They were too excited to sleep, so they just started to rejoice. They had a praise party. They decided to praise. What was their response in prison? Rejoice. What was their response in captivity? And like, kind of, we can't go anywhere in restraint. When we're under control, we're just going to sing praises to our God because we cannot be stopped. Amen. If we could get this today, if we could get this into our hearts, if we could get this into our heads, we would be unstoppable in life no matter the circumstances, because our joy is not based on where we are. It's not based on what's happened to us. It's based on Jesus. Amen. Come on. So they had a response, and the response was an unreasonable response. They had an unreasonable problem which was thrust upon them, and now they've chosen to give an unreasonable response. They should have been like moaning. They should have been complaining. They should have been giving up stink. They should have been trying to get out of there. They've been trying to escape. But all they were thinking about is, how can we rejoice? How can we praise? Point number three, outcome. Because anytime you've got a problem and then you choose a response, then you're naturally going to get to an outcome. And so here's their outcome. It was breakthrough. It was breakthrough in their outcome. And so they begin to praise. They begin to ask God. They begin to seek God. They begin to praise. And then suddenly everything changes. And now they get a breakthrough. And here's the outcome. It's miracles. It's God's move. And verse 26, suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. And all the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Wow. Again, this actually happened. Now, what happened? They had a problem. What did they do? They choose to respond in praise. They choose to respond in joy. And the outcome? Breakthrough. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. So we said it. They had an unreasonable response. They had an unreasonable problem. And now they've had an outrageous outcome because God has taken over. You see, every time we choose joy instead of despair, we grow stronger. And anything becomes possible. This is ridiculous, but this is the way of the kingdom. And this is why we can have constant joy in every season, and why we shouldn't contend for anything less. We should say, I'm going to be joyful no matter what. I'm going to stay in my joy no matter what. In fact, my joy is going to be my strength, and it's going to be my breakthrough, because I'm connected to Jesus and he never changes. And listen, look what happened in the story. They started off with no control. Then they decided, what will we do with this control? They give it to Jesus, and then he took over. He took control. He took over control. And here's what we need to learn as Christians. When we're in an environment where there's no control, give God control. Give God control. And how do you do that best? Start to praise. Start to worship. Start to rejoice. It makes no sense, but it's what you do in the kingdom. And you're taking this thing to a higher degree. You're taking it to a higher level. And then suddenly, wow, the presence of God starts to take over. Anything's possible. Miracles start to move. God starts to move. He takes control. And he does what he pleases. And nobody can stop him. And it happens when we start to rejoice in every circumstances. This is something that God wants us to get today. So if you've got a problem, what do you do? I mean, this is where we have to get to. If you've got a problem, what do you do? Here's what I find. Sometimes Talk about me. I get the self-pity. Ever got the self-pity before? It's like, no, this is not fair. Life's not fair. This is not fair. And I go round in the circle. And guess what? It blinds me. And then I start to blame this person and blame that person and blame life and blame circumstances. And if only I'd have been 5 minutes earlier or 5 minutes later, my life would be so different. Please don't get lost in that. I've been there too many times, so I've learned my lesson. I've said, I'm not going back without a fight. I'm sticking to joy. I'm sticking with Jesus. I'm sticking with Him. My problem, I'm going to give it to Him. But what do you do when you face problems? Maybe it's pride. Man, pride is such a big killer. But I just know it all. I know better. I've been to all these places before, and it does not end well. In fact, let me give you a verse for it to show you. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction. Wow. Pride goes before destruction. That's a pretty strong term. But this is what Solomon says in the book of Proverbs. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In other words, I know everything. Well, I tell you what, if you know everything, wow, get ready for a fall, because you're going to realize that that's not true. That's not true. And you're living a lie. But that's what pride does. Self-pity blinds you, and pride just destroys you. So we got to get away from those things. But instead, what's my response? Rejoice. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. Why? Because God's in control. And if God's in control, He's got my joy, and my circumstances do not dictate to me any longer. Wow. Anytime we decide not to rejoice, anytime we decide not to praise, anytime we decide not to sing and not to give praises to God, then we have switched from our joy being based in Jesus to our joy being based in our circumstances. Wow. And that's how we know. It's like we know what the right answer is at times. We can give you all the right answers. We can say all the right things. We can even go to the right places. But what way are you living your life when the rubber hits the road, when all is said and done, and you just got to look at your track record? You just got to look back in your life and go, okay, how did I respond there? How did it go there? Do I want to rejoice? I'll not rejoice. I'm not going to praise. I'm not going to do that thing. Watch how we simply have turned our joy in Jesus into joy in the circumstances. And when we do that, then there's no way I can praise. There's just no way that I can give God praise, because why did He not make this better? Because my joy is not connected to Him. My joy is connected to my circumstances. Here's the way I'm going to put it. No joy, no life. No joy, no life. That's literally it. I think our life is just wasted. If we've got no joy, we've got no life, even as Christians, because we're not going to step into that abundant life that He's called us to. In fact, anytime I'm not in joy, I'm partnering with a different spirit, literally. And the spirit that I'm partnering with is one that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And you're like, whoa, come on now. You don't know the circumstances I've been through. You don't know what I've faced. You don't know what I've been through. Look, I'm telling you this. I've been through some circumstances. Maybe not as bad as yours. Maybe yours are worse. But here's the thing. You're making the wrong connection, because your joy is not connected to your circumstances, or at least it shouldn't be. It should be connected to Jesus. And then it doesn't really matter what circumstances you go through, because guess what? God's still with you. God's still there. God hasn't failed you. And even of death, well, if you're in Christ, death has no sting. And that's the good news for Paul's dad, because even though we're sad that we lost him, and even though we were praying for breakthrough and victory in this life, he got it in the next, because there was no loss for him. There was no death for him. There was no sting for him. Now, there was loss for us, but it's a temporal loss. It's not a forever loss. It's not an eternal loss. It's a temporal loss. And eventually, one day, we will meet him, and we will rejoice, and we will be happy, and we will be glad again. But I tell you what, whenever you have a loved one, and even when they do pass away, you will rejoice, because they're in heaven. You will rejoice in all circumstances, because you know God's got this and He is in control. Anytime He's not in control, it's because we've moved our joy from Jesus into our joy, into our circumstances. And I'm going to tell you, bring them back, because joy is under attack and the enemy is trying to attack it all of the time, because the devil hates joy. Because anytime that a Christian realizes the truth about joy, then the game's up for him. He can't get you with the circumstances anymore. He can't get you with your emotions anymore. He can't get you with happiness anymore. He can't get you with what other people say, because you are found totally in Christ, and that's where your hope comes from. That's where your happiness comes from. That's where your life comes from. That's where your joy comes from. And suddenly, now that you find your joy in Jesus, forget it. The game is up for him. And guys, we've got to make a new connection, a better connection. Do whatever it takes to get your joy found in him, because I don't want it to be anywhere else. Here's where it gets really sad, and here's where we've still got a problem. There are still so many Christians that have found their joy in their circumstances. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. Too many Christians have no joy. Well, what do you mean? Of course they got joy. No, too many Christians have lost their joy. Because guess what? Someone said something. because they're not going to church. They've decided not to read anymore, decided not to pray anymore, decided not to evangelize anymore, decided not to go after the things of God anymore. Why? Because something happened one time. And it mightn't be 6 months anymore ago, it might be 6 years ago, or even 60 years ago, but they've put their joy in the wrong place. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Just give your pride to God, give yourself pity to God, and repent and allow Him to turn your life around. Because guess what? Your joy should be in Jesus, and no matter what anybody does, it should never allow you to be robbed of the things of God. Come on. That's the way the devil wants us to live. That's the way the enemy wants us to live. That's where he wants to get a foothold in our lives. But I'm telling you, you're a powerful person. If you're in Christ, you're a powerful person. Even if you've been robbed from for 60 years, you can say yes to Jesus right now. Ask Him for breakthrough, and He will bring breakthrough. And suddenly you will feel 10 times lighter, and you'll be able to give that forgiveness, and you'll be able to escape from that prison, and you will know life again in all its fullness, even if 60 years have went by. Please don't live in that place. Because just like Paul and Silas, they find themselves in a prison. Maybe you're in a prison. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So let me give you a solution. Because if not, you're going to go round and round in circles. And you're going to say, I'm going to stay in this place of giving up. I'm going to stay in this place of I don't want to know. I'm going to stay in this place of rejection and hopelessness. But you're not a victim if you're in Christ. You just need to understand who you are and understand where your purpose is and where your joy is and where your destiny is. And then suddenly you start to rise in the things of God. But here's the solution. It's the same one as Paul and Silas. I'm in prison. Maybe you're in a prison. Paul and Silas were there. Okay, you can say yes to that. Check, I'm there, right there. Number two, I'm rejoicing. Because that's what Paul and Silas said. That was their response. What's your response? If you're not rejoicing, then there's an issue. You got to do something different. Number three, what did they do? What was the outcome? They were set free. They were set free. If you've got a problem like Paul and Silas did, what is your response? Your response is so crucial for the breakthrough. But let's reverse engineer. If you're feeling like you're trapped, if you're feeling like you're stuck, if you're feeling like you can't be the person you want to be, then start to go backwards up the chain and go, okay, I'm going to start rejoicing, even though it makes no sense, even though it's the last thing in the world that I want to do. There have been many times in my life when I've said the last thing I'm going to do is rejoice now. But I've learned a different way. I've learned a different way. And I tell you this, anytime I feel like that, I start rejoicing anyway. Anytime I feel like that, I start singing anyway. I tell you, the most important thing that we can do as Christians is rejoice in all circumstances, because it keeps our joy in the right place, and it keeps us straight and true, and it keeps the enemy off us, because his purpose is to destroy your life. That's the fundamental point of his whole existence, to destroy your purposes and destroy the plans of God on your life. And so very quickly, last thing, new connection. John 15:9 says this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. This is how we're going to get a new connection. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. Note this. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. A constant, complete, perfect joy. It is more than possible, but it's only found in Christ. I'm not making it up. It can be found in Christ, and you can have it today. And here's how it literally works. It's almost like a sequence. Whenever you love Him, it leads to trust. Whenever you trust Him, it leads to obedience. Whenever you're obedient, it leads to joy. That's how it goes. I mean, it's literally that kind of sequence. And when we layer that thing up, wow, it doesn't even matter what circumstances I find myself in. It won't shake my joy. It doesn't matter what circumstances I find myself in, what things come my way, what someone says, what someone does. It doesn't matter. You cannot shake my joy. In fact, my joy will allow me to go strongly through that thing. My joy will allow me to go right through the middle of that thing and overcome. And my joy will keep me free, because my joy is in Jesus. And he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And if I keep my hope in him, you can't take my freedom from me, even if my circumstances change. Paul and Silas showed us that. Let me read it over your heart in the message. 15, 9 and 10. I loved you the way my Father has loved me. Jesus speaking. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Keep my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I have told you these things for a purpose. There's a purpose for all of this, that my joy may be your joy, and that your joy wholly mature. And he goes on to say this. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do these things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I have named you my friends because I've let you in on everything that I've heard from my Father. Wow. Jesus is literally saying, I want you to know my love. And the more that you know my love, the more you're going to be strong in the joy that I've given you. And my joy will literally be your strength in all circumstances. Guys, this is the new connection we need. It's Father's Day for us in the UK, and we're rejoicing in the UK and Ireland. It's Father's Day, and we're happy for that. But look what Jesus said. He says, think about your ultimate heavenly Father. If you don't know him today, we're going to pray in just a moment. He says, I only do what the Father shows me. He's shown me love. And so because of that love, I want to tell you about that love. And I'm telling you, build your house there. Live there. Live in his love and watch how your circumstances may change, your life may change, your friends may change, your connections may change, but your joy will stay intact and it will stay constant. So we're going to pray for it. When Jesus and joy are connected, who can ever shake you from him? Because his love and his power are unfailing. Lord, I just thank you today for everybody that's tuned in. I pray, Lord, for anybody who doesn't know you, who are as far from you. I pray right now that some business is taking place in their heart where they're literally saying yes to Jesus. The Bible makes it so clear and so easy in a way. If we would believe in our hearts and confess with our minds that Jesus is Lord. In other words, we would say, look, Jesus, I'm a sinner. My life is no good. I need some change going on. I'm not going to make it to heaven, but I want to say yes to you. Then in that moment, he comes. He gives us a brand new start. In fact, he says he makes us a new creation. Suddenly, our home is secure in heaven, and we can live and have our being in Christ, and our joy comes like a flood. Our joy comes like a gift that you did not earn. Our joy comes, and it overflows us. And now every other connection of joy that you had before has been severed, and suddenly, you're found wholly in Christ. If you need that today, then say yes to Jesus right now, and he will come and do incredible things. And I pray and I believe for confidence and boldness, God, for anybody that needs that, would say yes to that in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for everybody that we would know your joy, experience your joy, that we would be after the things of God, and we would make our home in you, Lord, and your love would lead us to trust, and trust would lead us to obedience, and obedience would lead us to joy, and we would live in joy and have our being in joy, and we would operate in joy. And no matter what would come our way, we would continue to share the good news and the good joy of Jesus to everyone around us. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're moving in our hearts and lives today. And we pray for everyone in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.